The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the player cards in the revised core set. Today, we're taking a look at the Survivor cards. This is part one of a three-part series. The first two parts will take a look at the level zero cards, while part three will take a look at the upgrades. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a plus one, zero, or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with our look at the player cards in the revised core set. This time around, we are going to take a look at the Survivor cards. This is part one of a three-part series. The first two parts will take a look at the level zero cards, while part three will take a look at the upgrades. We're going to start things off with a look at Leather Coat. It is a free asset with a combat skill icon, item and armor trait. It has two health and takes up a body slot. What do you guys think about the Leather Coat?
Always liked having a one of Leather Coat in pretty much any investigator that can take it. It's basically free health soak in a slot you're really not going to use that often. Pretty much all upside with very little downside. I don't think it's worth including two most of the time, unless you're someone like William Yorick, who can constantly recur a Leather Coat over and over again. But yeah, it's a nice card.
Yeah, the fact that it's it costs zero and it uses a slot that's not your ally slot, I think it's very good. This is going to be a staple for a long time because the body slot isn't really contested.
There aren't that many cards in the card pool, even to this day, that require the body slot. So you're generally safe if you include this card and you need a little bit of extra soak. There is a sanity version, the Cherished Keepsake from the Echoes of the Past Mythos pack, that basically does the exact same thing except for sanity, and it takes up the accessory slot. I don't know how often I've actually ended up playing the Leather Coat, but it does come in handy from time to time where you just need to take a little bit of damage and the Leather Coat steps in and performs admirably and then heads off to the discard pile and you get to keep on trucking. How would you rate this card?
This is tough. It's not a very flattering card, but it's a very serviceable card. And considering that both Wendy and Agnes want at least one of these, and you conveniently get two in your revised core set box, you're probably going to play this card. So I think with all that in mind, I'd probably give it a zero. It's serviceable, and you're going to play it a lot, but it's not going to be the most exciting thing in your deck.
I actually am going to give this one an Elder Sign, because it's very, very good at what it does, which is give you soak for a very low price for a slot that you're often not going to use for anything else. I think it's just very good at what it does. Elder Sign.
Wow, yeah. That is high praise indeed for the Leather Coat. I think I'm going to go with Nate and give it a zero. I like this card for what it does. Not flashy by any means. I mean, it is not the most fashionable choice. If you're playing a scenario and you're starting to run low on health, it's awfully nice to be able to slap this down and provide a little bit of extra protection just in case you run into some unexpected damage. And the next card we're going to take a look at is Scavenging, one cost asset with a intellect skill icon talent trait. As a response, after you successfully investigate by two or more, exhaust Scavenging, choose an item card in your discard pile and add it to your hand. Now, I was curious about this card because it's not a card I have played a great deal of, so I went back to take a look at how many items are in the revised core set. It turns out there are 17. Many of them are signature assets, which of course Wendy or Agnes can't play. But when you add it all up, Wendy and Agnes have 10 targets apiece for this sort of thing. What do you guys think about Scavenging?
I think Scavenging in the revised core set got a lot better than its original printing in the original core set, because now we have Lockpicks and Rite of Seeking, which are huge boons for this card for you to be able to actually trigger it, which is ginormous. And survivors have a good amount of items that they probably want to recur between things like leather coat, knife, and baseball bat. Wendy needs a way to kill Swarm of Rats, and baseball bat and knife help you do that. And leather coat essentially makes her a giant dodge tank forever. You can just constantly take hits, discard the leather coat, use your lockpicks, investigate, and pick the leather coat back up and play it. I think scavenging is a lot better than it used to be.
Yeah, scavenging is a card that enables a lot of fun combo plays and a whole engine of using items for whatever and getting them back to your hand. Like, one fun trick you can do with Wendy actually is you could commit her amulet for 2 question marks. Then using your lockpicks, you can scavenge Wendy's amulet back to hand to commit to more tests. You can also recycle items that you've pitched to activate Wendy's ability. Where scavenging is kind of limited is not all items discard themselves. So like flashlight, when it runs out of charges, it can be kind of a chore to get it in the bin so you can bring it back with scavenging. So scavenging is not infinitely powerful engine, but there's a lot of fun stuff you can do with scavenging over time. Perfect example, actually, is from this Stella Clark starter deck, you have Old Keyring, because that you can, it's like a flashlight, but it discards itself. So you can use Old Keyring and scavenging, and you can kind of see where the synergies come from.
I think scavenging is probably a lot better in Wendy than in Agnes, given that Wendy does have access to lockpicks now, so she can reliably succeed by 2 on investigation. Poor Agnes, while she is pictured in the new art on the card, succeeding by 2 on an investigate action is going to be very difficult for her to do at all but the lowest of shroud locations. So I think your ability to trigger this with her is going to be quite limited. She does have her heirloom, which she can pitch to tests and then get back, which is pretty attractive because of its icon spread. But I think Agnes will, just because of her, I believe she has 2 intellect. You know, she's got flashlight. So if you're at a 2-shroud location and you reduce the shroud to 0, but then you'd still sort of need to be at 4. So you're pitching additional icons to get to that 2 up.
Just to trigger scavenging.
I'm not entirely convinced that it's worth the effort in Agnes, but certainly Wendy, once she gets lockpicks, can really go ham with this thing. I should also mention there is a level 2 upgrade in the Weaver of the Cosmos Mythos pack that lets you pick the item from your discard pile and then either return it to your hand or play it, which is a nice little upgrade. How would you rate this card?
I think scavenging gets a bless token from me. This is a definite build around card. You have to really plan your whole deck around not only getting scavenging out, but then having enough items that discard themselves or you pitch to skills to be able to recur with this card to really make it useful. And then you also need to be able to competently investigate. So there's kind of a trifecta there when you look at scavenging that you need to be able to accomplish. That's probably going to take up 29 or 30 of your deck slots to do that.
Well, I don't know about 29 or 30. But yeah, this is definitely a build around. It's a bless token because you don't just throw this in just randomly. You kind of want to consider what you're going to be using scavenging on, how you're going to be triggering scavenging, and you know, all that jazz. So yeah, it's part of a combo engine, not so much a one of just stick it in any deck.
Yeah, this one gets a bless token from me as well. I think if you're looking for cards when you start to build your decks that need to be trimmed, this is one of those that until you decide that yeah, I'm going to go for this item centric deck, this one you can probably cut and replace it with something that's going to be more effective. I think it might also be somewhat of a trap that you feel the need to try to trigger this on every investigate action where it's just like, well, I have to succeed by 2 on every investigate to get this item. I think you really need to pick and choose your targets. And certainly once Wendy gains some experience points, she can start to recycle her amulet and do all sorts of tricks like that. But I think if you go in with the intention of I'm going to succeed by 2 on every test, you're going to be committing extra cards and resources to tests that you really don't need to worry about.
Yeah, the good news with the revised core is, as Nate was saying, is that thanks to lockpicks level 1 being added to the revised core, they, Wendy at least, has the components to get a scavenging deck started, which is really nice.
The next card in the pack is a baseball bat, 2-cost asset with a combat skill icon, item, weapon, and melee traits. As an action you may fight, you get +2 combat for this attack. This attack deals +1 damage. If you draw a skull or autofail symbol is revealed during this attack, discard baseball bat after the attack resolves. Baseball bat takes up 2 hand slots. I have a bit of a soft spot for the baseball bat. Its stat line is certainly above average for a weapon, at least in the revised core set. The biggest problems, of course, are the fact that it does have a tendency to break. There are more skull tokens in the bag than most other tokens, depending on the campaign that you're playing in. There's going to be 2 to 3 of those in there. And it does take up both hand slots, which if you're playing somebody like Wendy, she probably wants one of those hand slots for lockpicks. But if you are interested in all at building a combo Wendy deck that kills enemies, Baseball Bat is pretty important to that.
Like we were saying earlier, Baseball Bat is also just kind of one of Wendy's ways of dealing with a swarm of rats. And while it does suck for her that it takes up both hand slots, you know, discarding it at least helps you feel your scavenging. That's something. And in Agnes, it's kind of the same deal. You know, it can serve to kill those enemies you don't want to use shriveling charges on, and Agnes doesn't really care so much about her hand slots. Once she uses her flashlight, she can easily pitch it and just swing at things with a baseball bat until she needs to shrivel other tougher enemies.
I like the baseball bat mainly for its cost. It's really cheap, and it gives you +2 to combat. Like, even if the baseball bat survives for 2 or 3 swings, that's pretty good compared to the 4 shots. The 4 ammo on a 45 automatic, which costs 4. Getting the baseball bat to land 2 or 3 hits is pretty good.
Consider baseball bat over blinding light, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, you're getting more damage out of one attack, and it essentially gives you the same boost in Agnes, because it's Agnes has 3 agility, so you're getting a +2 in that regard. And baseball bat is reusable, hopefully. So.
Yeah, and it should be said that the survivor's choice of weapons in the revised core is pretty limited. Basically, you got this and knife, which isn't much of a choice at all. And then even once you start to expand your card pool, until you sort of get into the later sets where you get things like meat cleaver, there is another weapon in the Stella Clark starter deck.
The 18 Derringer.
The 18 Derringer. Your options are pretty limited at level 0, so I've ended up playing the baseball bat in quite a few decks, actually, at least at level 0, and then once I earn some experience points, I upgrade out of it. I know I was playing one Rita Young deck where I upgraded the baseball bat into the Ornate Bow and basically does the same thing without having to worry about it breaking. How would you rate the baseball bat?
I think within the revised core set in Wendy and Agnes specifically, I'd give it a +1. It's decent, you know, and like you said, as your card pool expands, the survivors at level 0 don't have a ton of options for weapons, and +2 and +1 damage is nothing to scoff at.
I'd give this a 0. It's a fine card. It's not spectacular. I don't think it's bad either. I think it's fine. I think we were talking about Wendy. I think Wendy, if she has 2 copies of the Derringer and 2 copies of Baseball Bat, she's good to go for the few fight checks she needs to make. And then Agnes can do well with 2 Shrivelings and 2 copies of Baseball Bat. She's fine with the combat checks that she needs to make. So it's a fine card.
I'm going to give this one a +1. Just, I have a soft spot for it. I quite like playing the baseball bat. If I need a weapon in Survivor, it's nice to have. It's cheap enough that I don't mind throwing it down and killing a couple things with it. And if I lose it, I lose it. No big deal. The odds of losing it are still pretty low. So it's not, I find that it doesn't break as often as you kind of expect. And if you do want Wendy to go on a killing spree, you can combine baseball bat with Will to Survive and a couple copies of Overpower, and she can really do some damage to some big creatures, because of course will they survive? You don't have to draw tokens from the chaos bag, so the fact that this is going to break doesn't matter. So she can hit for quite a bit of damage with between a baseball bat and a will to survive.
I just imagine the flavor of a small child just beating the ghoul priest with a baseball bat.
Yeah. Well, one of the early decks that was built was Killing the Experiment from the Dunwich Legacy, which I built and played and succeeded at. And it was quite a bit of fun to watch Wendy take down this enemy that that some guardians will struggle to deal with, especially at the beginning of a campaign before they get their, their big guns. But between Will to Survive and some combat skill icons, Wendy was just knocking it down without too much trouble. That brings us to Rabbit's Foot, a one-cost asset with a wild skill icon, item, and charm trait. As a response, after you fail a skill test, exhaust Rabbit's Foot and draw one card. It takes up an accessory slot. Neither Agnes nor Wendy have a lot of options to draw cards in the revised core set, and this gives you one of them. You do have to fail a skill test, but that will happen from time to time when you're playing, and it's nice to get some sort of reward out of that.
Yeah, failing forward is always generally pretty good in this game, and Rabbit's Foot continues to be generally pretty good. Survivor doesn't get a ton of card draw options, and Rabbit's Foot ends up being one of the better options simply because it's so cheap. And, well, it's a little annoying that it takes up your accessory slot. At least it doesn't take up your ally slot.
I mean, the other survivor card draw option really is scavenging, you know, in a virtual way. So Rabbit's Foot, it's good that this is in the core set as well. So it's not your only option for getting additional cards into your hand. Yeah, Rabbit's Foot's pretty good. That accessory slot is kind of nasty. And then if you hit a certain point where you're not failing skill tests, it can just sit there. So it's not perfect, but it's fine. I also think effects like this are very good in solo or two-player play because it just kind of takes the sting out of failing a test when actions are tight.
Yeah, often if you've committed cards to a skill test and then you fail, you're not only out the test, but you're also out the cards that you committed to that skill test. And at least Rabbit's Foot can replace one of those cards for you. So if you try to investigate and pitch a perception to it and you come up short, then at least you're going to get that card back and hopefully it'll help you on future tests. Should also mention there is a level 3 upgrade for Rabbit's Foot in the Return to the Night of the Zealot product, and I believe it allows you to search your deck and pick a card. And so how would you rate this one?
I think this gets a plus one from me. I play a lot of solo and two-player, so like Manastrofka was saying, that there are times when you're going to have to take skill tests, you're likely going to fail anyway, and getting some benefit out of those skill tests is really critical to succeeding in those formats.
I also give it a plus one because it's very cheap and pretty good for what it does, providing Survivor some card draw. What keeps it out of being an Elder Sign is that it's actually kind of difficult to lean in fully to the fail forward strategy. There are a lot of cards that'll help you with it, but it can be hard to consistently fail.
There are some cards in later expansions that do give you a better chance at failure, drawing thin among them, where you can bump the difficulty of a skill test, if usually used on skill tests that you're going to fail anyway, but you can also use it proactively and pump skill tests you know you're going to pass and get the benefits of that. But I think this one's a plus one. It's nice to have that card draw, which is exceedingly rare in Mystic and Survivor. I don't think Survivors really receive much in the way of card draw until they get Take Heart from the Heart of the Elders Mythos pack.
True.
The accessory slot is a bit of an issue depending on which investigator you're playing, but they did provide a solution to that in the revised core with the addition of Relic Hunter. So if you find that the accessory slot is there's a little too much competition for that accessory slot, you do have a way of mitigating it somewhat. That brings us to Stray Cat. It is a one-cost asset with an agility skill icon, ally, and creature trait. As a free triggered ability, you may discard Stray Cat to automatically evade a non-elite enemy at your location. And it has one health, and it takes up an ally slot. We've talked a lot about how amazing the allies have been in the revised core. You look at Beat Cop and Dr. Mylan Christopher, Leo DeLuca, Arcane Initiate. Sort of feel as though the survivors got the short end of the stick on this one.
They did, unfortunately. They more than make up for it in the Dunwich Legacy with the release of Peter Sylvester, but yeah, Stray Cat is a bit of a dud. On its surface, it seems like it would be okay. You know, you're essentially trading a card in an action for an action later when an enemy shows up and you can just evade it, but Wendy's already good at evading enemies, and Agnes is better at evading enemies than you would probably think she is.
You know? I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you.
It's like Agnes just needs manual dexterity, and you're likely going to evade most enemies anyway. So, yeah, like, how useful is Stray Cat going to be? And how often are you going to have that ally slot open to keep Stray Cat around when you're playing Wendy and you want to have Leo DeLuca? Or you're playing Agnes and you want to have Arcane Initiate in play.
I feel like in most cases, just play two copies of Manual Dexterity instead, and you'll be fine. One thing to note about Stray Cat, though, is that you can discard it, and you can save a buddy, because you can automatically evade a non-elite enemy at your location, which can be enemies engaged with other investigators. It's good to know, because normally
effects that do that are pretty rare in the game, that usually you have to be engaged with the enemy if you're going to evade it. So effects that let you evade enemies without having to engage them off of other investigators first are pretty rare in this game, so that it does stand out. But yeah, the biggest problem I think with Stray Cat is it's up against Arcane Initiate and Agnes and Leo and Wendy and then Cat Burglar later, and it just doesn't have the stats to compete with either of those allies. How would you rate this one?
It's an Elder thing for me. It's just, I've never really played this card, and I don't really ever see a reason why I would want to play this card. Unless I was building some sort of creature deck with some of the Edge of the Earth cards that we'll talk about soon, but
for the most part, it's as Nate said, the two investigators who can take this in the revised core probably don't need it or want it because their evasions are pretty high. I mean, I can see a role for Stray Cat if you're playing Wendy alongside Skids or Wendy and you don't really want to take Leo DeLuca because of how expensive he is. I mean, you could play Stray Cat there in like three or four player and you can save Roland's butt from time to time, or you know, by evading something. But other than that, it's another thing. I wouldn't bother. I wish Stray Cat were an event. If it were an event, I'd like it.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I don't think I've ever played Stray Cat ever, so I'm really tempted to give this an auto fail simply because, like you say, unless you're playing four player and there isn't enough cards to go around and you need somebody to have an ally, I mean, it's fine, but it just doesn't do enough compared to the other allies in the box to warrant tying up your ally slot. The effect that you can automatically evade an enemy not engaged with you is pretty good. I don't think it's enough to warrant playing this thing. That's going to do it for part one of our look at the survivor cards in the revised core set. We had Leathercoat, Scavenging, Baseball Bat, Rabbit's Foot, and Stray Cat. Hint at the themes that are common in the survivor card pool, namely recursion with Scavenging and failing forward with Rabbit's Foot. Any final thoughts?
I think Scavenging gets a lot better with this revised core set. So I think that's a card that if you're playing Wendy, you should take a pretty good look at.
I like how these five cards, they kind of give you a good sense of what survivor, what their flavor is. You have a weapon that can break. You've got an automatic evasion because, you know, survival is what it's all about. You've got a card that lets you turn a failure into a half success. You know, you've got some soak, and then you've got scavenging, you know, weird stuff. Yeah, I like these five.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.